Amen. Good morning. God bless you. You know, the last couple of weeks I've been sharing with you on the subject of humility. And I want to continue with that this morning by looking at two characters in the New Testament. And these two characters are two brothers. And Jesus called these two brothers the sons of thunder. The sons of thunder. Now these two boys, or these two men, are James and his brother John. And what we see with James and John is an example of a lesson in humility. But before I just tell you a little bit about James and John, and we get to talk about them, let me just give you a little bit of the inspiration behind this teaching I've been doing on humility. A few years ago, I don't know exactly how long, but I was in a hotel. And I noticed in this hotel something very odd, something very strange. And it was this. Once you to check in at the hotel, you went to the reception desk and you checked in. But in order for you to get up to the upper levels where all the hotel rooms were, you had to first go down a few stairs. It's actually very similar to the setup they had here in the hotel here with the reception desk there. In order to access the lifts to get to the rooms, you have to go down. There's a ramp down just to the side here, or some steps there. You have to go down those steps so that you could go higher. So this is the inspiration behind it. In order to go up or to ascend, you have to first descend. And in order to be raised or exalted, Jesus said that he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. You have to go down in order to go up. And that's the main inspiration behind this. Now, with James and John, in Mark's Gospel chapter 1, we read these words. This is the calling of James and John when Jesus first meets them. It says here in verse 19, it says, when he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. So here Jesus is walking along the shores of Galilee, and he sees these two disciples, these two boys, working with their father in the fishing business. They were mending the nets. They were in the boat. And he calls them, he says, to come and follow me. And we see that James and John left their father. They left their fishing boat. They left their nets. And they followed Jesus on the road. Now, something we also know of James and John, because Luke's Gospel chapter 5 tells us this, that they were partners with Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother. In Luke 5 verse 10, we read these words. It says that, so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, from now on you will catch men. So we have this little group of fishermen, James, John, Peter, and Andrew. Now it's traditionally accepted that Peter was the oldest of the disciples, and also tradition tells us that John was the youngest. So here we have the eldest and the youngest. You know, men that knew how to catch fish. But James and John, these two brothers, they are our focus for them all this morning. Now, I want you to come with me, if you've got Bibles, to Luke's Gospel chapter 9. Luke's Gospel chapter 9. This is, we're going to see something about what's in the heart of James and John. So in Luke chapter 9, we're going to go straight to verse 52. Well, let's read verse 51. It says here in 50, it says, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he," this is talking about Jesus, "he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face." And it says, "And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because," talking about Jesus again, "they did not receive Jesus because his face was set for Jerusalem." Now, I'm not going to get into the political situation between the Samaritans and the Jews, but because he was purposed to go to Jerusalem, the Samaritans did not want to welcome him into their town. And it says here in verse 54, it says, "When his disciples James and John," now here we are, these two boys, these two brothers, "when these two disciples saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come from heaven and consume them, just like Elijah did?' But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what manner of spirit you are of.'" Now there is a statement made by Jesus to these two boys. "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of." Look, what is it? What's on their heart? Just because somebody doesn't welcome them into their tent, they want to call fire from heaven to consume them, to destroy them. You know, they've got they're thinking back to Elijah, they're thinking back perhaps to the time of Sodom and Gomorrah as well. "Lord, shall we call fire down and destroy this?" It's because they don't want to know you. They don't want to welcome you. And Jesus says, "Stop it, fools." He says, "You don't know what spirit you're of." You know, this is not the spirit of humility. What James and John were working, they had a spirit of revenge, intolerance, and injustice over this village. What have they done? Just for not welcoming them, they're ready to have revenge on them, they're ready to call the fire down from heaven. And Jesus says, "Stop it, fools." Now, this is my translation. "Stop it," he says, "you don't know what spirit you're of." You know, this is one of those moments, a little bit like Peter had with Jesus. You know, when Jesus turns to Peter, do you remember that occasion? He says, "Shut up, Peter." He says, "You don't know what you're talking about." That's what the words he used. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." This is one of those "get behind me, Satan" moments. You know, Jesus is confronting these two disciples and he says, "Guys, what do you think you're saying? You don't know what spirit you're of. That's not the spirit of humility. That's not the spirit of love." Perhaps they thought this was a righteous anger, a holy anger. But this is not the spirit of humility. James and John were not mindful of the things of God. What they needed to learn was that their first step should be a step down, a step of humility. Instead of commanding the fire to fall and come and consume the village, they should have rather submitted themselves to the love and compassion of Christ. Because Jesus went on to say in this chapter, in verse 56, he says, look, he says, "You don't know what spirit you are of." He says, "For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And so they went on to another village. It was actually just a few verses earlier in the chapter, on an earlier occasion, when Jesus had to confront John again about his less than humble act. This is John, who was known as the Apostle of Love. This is John who gave us the Gospel, who wrote the letters that we read all about love. Love. The theme of his letters to the church is love. And here's a man who's ready to call fire down from heaven to consume a village. In verse 49 and 50, we see John speaking on behalf of the other disciples here. We see another less than humble attitude that he has. And this is towards another brother, another person. John answered and said, verse 49, he said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade them." Why? Because he's not following us. He doesn't belong to our church. So we stopped him from doing it. Jesus says, don't do it. He says, don't forbid him. He says, he who is not against us is on our side. He says, you don't know what spirit you are. Don't stop someone. Don't stop another brother from doing what God has put on their heart to do. He wasn't part of their church. Let me use that terminology. He was certainly part of the church. He was working for the kingdom of God. But John, because he didn't belong to them, whoa, stop, you mustn't do that. That's not the spirit of humility. If you come with me to Mark's Gospel chapter 9, because here we have the same situation, just from Mark's perspective. In Mark 9, we have, there's a conversation going on between the disciples. They're on the road. They're walking, they're talking, they're discussing, they're arguing. This is the disciples. And in verse 33, it says, "Then he," talking about Jesus, "came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them a question." He says, "What was it that you were disputing on the road? What was it you were talking about among yourselves as we journeyed on the road?" And it says here in verse 33, they kept silent. Because on the road, they were disputing or they were talking or arguing among themselves as to who was the greatest among them. And then Jesus sat them down, verse 35, and called the 12 disciples, and he said to them, "Listen," he said, "if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Now, then John went on to say, well, look, he says, "Master," he said, "we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him." You know, the disciples have got something on their mind, and it's not humility. It's not service. In actual fact, it was the complete opposite. They were, who is the best? Maybe, I don't know, this is, I like to read into some of these occasions in the scriptures and just put myself in the picture. And you can imagine Peter, he's the eldest. He says, "Well, actually, I'm the oldest, guys. No, I'm the best. If anybody's going to be called, it's me. I'm the oldest. I'm wiser than you all. I've lived a lot longer." And then he turns to the other one and says, "John, you could forget it, mate. You could forget it. You know, you're just the child. You're just the baby." But they're discussing this on the road. You know, who's the greatest? This is what's on their heart. This is what's on their mind. And this warrants a lesson from Jesus on humility. If you want to be first, then you've got to learn to serve. If you want to be great, you've got to become the servant of all. If you want position, serve. If you want status, serve. On several occasions through the Gospels, and we don't have time to turn the scriptures up this morning, you'll see Jesus said, look, he says, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." So if you want to be great, and this is what he's telling, he says, if you want to be great, be the lowest. Serve. Be the slave of all. Now, one thing is very clear from both of these occasions in the life of James and John, and others also, let's not make out that some were all perfect, because they weren't. When they spoke, we could see what's on their heart. in the first instance, shall we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Is that the spirit of love? No. You know, you're forbidding someone from doing what's right. Is that the spirit of Christ? No. You know, Jesus went on in this chapter to warn his disciples about the dangers of causing little ones to stumble. Come with me to verse 42. He says here, he says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung round his neck and he were thrown into the sea. It's more preferable, Jesus says, for you to be drowned in the sea than to cause one of the little ones in the faith to stumble and fall. Why? Because if you're causing people to stumble and fall, that's not the spirit of humility. Let me just give you a few examples. And you know, we all have our own individual beliefs. In the areas which we call the minor doctrines, you know, we're not talking major doctrines, it's the minor doctrines. We all believe different things. And growing up over the years, I've been involved in church life ever since I was born. I was born on the mission field, and church has been it's in my blood, this way of life, if you want to put it that way. And I've heard over the years a lot of discussions and arguments about silly little things, which are minor doctrines. Things like, and we have this, you hear this all the time, the timing of the Lord's return. Heated the arguments and discussions as to when Jesus is coming back. What's important is that he is coming back.
Amen.
That doesn't matter when. But that he is. That's the important thing. So we spend hours, years sometimes, discussing and debating and arguing whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. And where does it get us? Nowhere. Then there's another issue I've heard and it's been debated in church. It's to whether the speaking of tongues is the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit baptism. Some people say it is, some people say it isn't, and they will argue with each other for decades on who is right. Then there's the issue, a very current topic, and the issue of prosperity. The consumption of alcohol for Christians. These are minor issues which we spend a lot of time talking about and arguing over. When I was growing up in church, I don't think it's so relevant today because you don't see it, but when I was growing up in church, it was the issue of whether women should wear hats in church. Covering their heads. And they'd argue, well, you can't go to this church because they don't wear their hats. Give us a break. Whether you clapped in church, whether you played music in church, whether you sang songs, or whether you were quiet. Minor issues which have caused division in the church.
That's right.
Is that the spirit of humility? It's the attitude of, I'm right, you're wrong, so you better just accept it. That is not humility. And that's the issue that James and John had. And it's dangerous. It can cause young Christians to stumble and fall. And Jesus said the person who causes those young ones to stumble and fall would be better for them if they had that millstone wrapped around their neck and they were thrown in the sea. Hard words. Why? Because it's not wise and it's not humility. You know, the spirit of humility is not quick to speak or act. Actually, James and John, they were in error because of this. Why? Because they spoke. Lord, shall we command the fire to come down? The phrase I'm going to use is this. If you're English, you will know this, I'm sure. I don't know whether this is a Maltese expression or you have this, but is to put your mouth into motion before your brain is in gear. You put your mouth into motion before you engage the brain into gear. That was one of Peter's mistakes. He was quick to do that. James and John are the same. We should be humble and wise, even if it means we say nothing. In actual fact, it's wiser to say nothing sometimes than it is to open your mouth. The scripture says this in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. It says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who refrains his lips is wise. If you want to be wise, you know, many a thing has been said in haste. And you know, maybe you've even done it. I have done it myself. Yeah. You say something, you say, oh, what have I said?
Ask Jane.
Ask Jane. You speak something, you say something in perhaps in anger or in the heat of the moment, and immediately as soon as you've said it, you know you've said wrong and you can't take it back. It's better to keep quiet. Bite your tongue. I know I really want to say something here, but it's better not to say anything. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. That's humility. Come with me quickly, because my last scripture is in Mark's Gospel chapter 10. Because we're still looking at James and John, these two disciples. Their lesson in humility. In Mark's Gospel chapter 10 verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, still the same two guys, they came to him saying, they came to Jesus with a request. Teacher, we want you to do us whatever we ask. And Jesus looked at them and he said to them, he said, what do you want me to do for you? What a lovely question. What do you want me to do for you? And here it comes. Are you ready? Are you buckled into your seats? This is their request. They said to him, grant us that one of us might sit on your right hand and the other on your left hand when you come into your glory. They came with this request. Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, when you come into your glory, can I sit at your right? And my brother sit at your left. We want position. We want greatness. They're still not thinking humility. They're thinking of position. They're thinking of greatness. And Jesus asks them, he makes a statement to them, and he says, you don't know what you're asking. In other words, he's the same thing as he said before. He said, you don't know what spirit you are of. And he taught them again, if you look at these verses that follow, he taught them on the subject of humility. Serving. Being submissive. It's not about where you sit. It's about your heart. Humility. Being humble. If you want to be first, you've got to learn the lesson of submission. And become the servant of all. If you take a step down, you will be exalted. Now this was the example of Jesus, and we should follow his example. Look what he says in verse 45. Talking to these two disciples, actually, and to the others. Because the others got a bit angry and a bit annoyed that James and John had even dared ask this question. It says in verse 41, it says the disciples. So when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. You know, it's stirring up friction in the congregation of this in the church, this request that they had. And they were dismayed. And then Jesus said, look, he says, even, verse 45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. You know, that's the example of Jesus. And James said, well, thank God, I believe they, James got his request. Jesus asked him the question, look, if you're looking for greatness, he says, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? You know, can you take on that role? And they both said yes. Now James did. He was martyred. He took on that role. Herod killed him. Herod. Had him martyred. John, I believe he learned the lesson of humility, because we read it in his letters to the churches. You know, love, compassion, being humble, submitting yourself to God, and being exalted by Him. It's not what we do. It's what God does for us. All we've got to learn is to take the step down, and God will raise us up. Amen.
Let's give a hand to the Lord.